SharePoint as a workload in the private cloud. My name is Michael Frank. I'm a infrastructure team lead at Provoke Solutions up here in Auckland. I'm also VTSP for Office 365, and I'm also one of the Auckland Windows infrastructure user groups that is happening every month. While I'm standing up here, about 9 months ago, when Virtual Machine Manager was still in the public preview, I had the task to actually look at Virtual Machine Manager and find out how the new capabilities of the private cloud work together with SharePoint. Now, there are a few problems, and I wanted to work around them and actually make it possible to bring out SharePoint as a workload into a private cloud. So this session is all about what I found and how I made it possible with PowerShell and a few other tools. Before I start, as I said, I'm one of the co-leaders of the Auckland Windows Infrastructure User Group. Would really like to invite you to come along to a user group if you can. Our next meeting is on the 26th of September, and you can register under mscommunities.co.nz. If you're not from Auckland, you can still go to that website and you can find your own local user group. Go along, have some beer and some pizza, and just be jolly and happy. Cool. With that said, what's the session about? As I said, it's all about Virtual Machine Manager and service deployments and SharePoint as a workload in the private cloud and what you need to consider before you actually build a SharePoint service template, what tools you can use, and where the gotchas are. If you see that guy on the right, on the left for you guys, it's aimed at you guys, at smart people. So it's really for the private cloud administrator, for any SharePoint administrator, or for anybody that is actually deploying a large number of SharePoint environments. Now, I did the session at Microsoft Management Summit in Las Vegas as well, and while I did over there, during the presentation, I actually deployed a full three-tier SharePoint farm. I had 1.5 hours over there. I only have 60 minutes here. So I'm still going to deploy a SharePoint farm, but I'll only make it a two-tier SharePoint farm. I'm going to start now, so I'm going to jump into my demo in a minute. And in about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, we should have a full SharePoint farm ready. So let me jump on my laptop. So I don't have anything fancy here. I have an i5 laptop with about 8 gigabytes of RAM and a SSD hard drive. As you can see, there are no virtual machines or anything on my laptop at the moment. And I go ahead and choose our already existing service template. Give it a name. Wait for VMM to do its thing. And it should come up with the VMM service template window. So you can see we have two tiers here. We have our SharePoint tier, which is a combined web front end and application server. I'll just give it a name. And we will have our SQL tier, which we name as well. And you can also see that I have a network load balancing component in here, so we will be able to load balance the SharePoint tier in the end. I'm going to hit deploy. And now it's going to go away and actually create that service on my virtual machine or Hyper-V server. Just going to check it to make sure it's actually doing it. Yep. And we can see got our two servers here that are being deployed right now. Awesome. So this is happening in the background now, and as I said, in about 40 minutes, we will have a full SharePoint farm. During the presentation, I will go back into my demos, and I will show how I actually created the service template so that you will be able to do that when you go home by yourself as well. Cool. So let's just forget about SharePoint for a minute, and let's just talk about private cloud. In a private cloud context, Applications are really what we use, and services is how we deliver those applications. To gain the maximum benefit out of a private cloud, we need to be able to deliver our applications as services in a scalable, standardized, and predictable manner. And we do these through four key constructs. First of all, we have abstraction, which means that by encapsulating the application into a server AppV bubble, we can maintain a consistent form of the application. We can dynamically configure the application at the point of the service instant deployment. And we can remove the tight coupling of the application from the OS. Second one is consistency. With the use of service templates, we provide a mechanism to deploy applications with standardized specifications, so we can ensure that we always have the same hardware settings, always have the same server settings, always have the same server roles on the server that we deploy. Next to this, we have insight. Inside, we really want to have a way to actually look at the applications that we deploy and that we send out. So in the new System Center Suite, we have Operations Manager, and within Operations Manager, we have Operations Manager Application Performance, which actually enables us to look in the application, not just in the US, but actually into the application. We get really good server stats and counters out of it, and out of this, we can then go ahead and control the application. So App Controller can take use out of Operations Manager. It can look up the counters. We can then define some SLAs, and when the SLAs are not met, we can use App Controller and Orchestrator later on to actually scale the application so it meets its SLAs again. Cool. Let's take a look at the breakdown of a service template. Again, we are not in the SharePoint space. We're just talking about service templates so far. We start with the structure, and up here I have an example of a typical .NET application. That's what Microsoft normally tells you, and if you do any of the online labs, that's what you get. So in one of these applications, you normally break it down into tiers. So in this .NET application, you have three tiers. You have a web application tier, you have a web tier, you have an application tier, and you have a data tier. Now, each of these tiers has its own scale out and health policy. So that defines if I can scale out that tier, so if I can scale out the web application or the web tier, if I can scale out the application tier. It's not really possible with the data tier. I'm not sure why it's in there, but anyways. And then within the web tier, I also have three profiles. Each of the profiles or each of the tiers has a hardware profile, so that defines things around how much CPU do I have in this tier, how much RAM do I need, what kind of storage and where's the storage. Then we got the OS profile, which defines things like what kind of Windows OS template will I choose, what server roles do I need to install, and how do I join to the domain. And then we got something called an application profile. The application profile is really what is different between each of the tiers. So in the web tier, we have an application profile, for example, that would be deployed with a Microsoft deployment package or a package.ios application and a configuration file. During the when we deploy the service instance, it will actually look at this MS deployment package and in the configuration file and automatically deploy it. We have the same in the application tier. The difference in the application profile for the application tier here is that instead of having a MS deployment package, we actually have a AppV package. So we have a package up application or AppV package from our developers that we can use to deploy in the application tier. And then in the data tier, we have the same again. We have hardware profile, OS profile, and we have a SQL profile. And the SQL profile is nothing else but a sysprepped or a pre-prepped or pre-installed SQL instance that you then can configure during the service deployment. Cool. So when I started to look into this whole thing with SharePoint and with Virtual Machine Manager, I looked at this and I thought, hey, that's really cool. And I did the online labs for Microsoft and I thought, that's really cool. That works really, really well. If you have a stateful application. Now, SharePoint is not a stateful application. So SharePoint is really bound to the OS, so I can't really configure this application profile for SharePoint. Do this. So I was in a bit of a dilemma, and I thought, how am I going to resolve this? Those two guys don't really like each other. But then I looked back into the service template and how the service template is structured and said, well, in my SharePoint deployment, I have a SQL tier. And that doesn't really differ from what I do in the .NET application. I then had a look at the web front end and the application tier, and I thought, well, I can still use the hardware profile, and I can still use the OS profile. I only have a problem with the app profile. I only really need to have a look how I can deploy SharePoint with an application profile. And in the end, I found a way using PowerShell and using some scripts to actually do that. So it was fine. I got some fights going on there. Because I knew I can't do it, and I went back to the drawing board, and I was like, well, before I actually deploy a SharePoint service, let's just have a look how a typical SharePoint deployment goes ahead. And really what we do, we have five things. First of all, we look at our environment. We make sure that our AD is up to scratch. We probably configure Kerberos in there. We configure some DNS names, and we need some service accounts and everything. Then we look at actually our Hyper-V structure. We find a place where we can put our SharePoint service. We make sure that we have enough storage, and we think about the load balance and everything. Then we go to the Hyper-V templates, or the actually Hyper-V machines. We make sure that we have everything configured like we need to have it configured, that all the resources are fine. We need to make sure that all the updates are installed and that SQL is installed like we want to. We can also install some third-party apps. And once that's all done, that's when we actually think about SharePoint. And the first thing there would be to create the farm, create the service applications that you need, think about the farm architecture, how you want to architecture it. Again, install some third-party apps. Then you have the base of the SharePoint install. And after that, you really go into customize the SharePoint farm. So that will be the point when you install some web application, install some site collection, and finally put some content on there, probably install some custom solutions that you have been developed. So that's the installation routine for SharePoint. So to deliver SharePoint as a service, we need to basically automate all of these. And it kind of is easy, and some of them you already do. For example, in your environment, you might do it manually, but I hope you're not. But you might have some workflows that you're using. And since the release of System Center 2012, you might have looked into Orchestrator or PowerShell to actually do this for you. Now, Orchestrator is really good, and if you haven't looked into it, really, really do. That will help you a lot. Once you start using it, you never go back. For the supporting systems, when I was looking into Virtual Machine Manager 2012, I looked at the network, the firewall, Hyper-V storage, all these things, and I thought, well, Microsoft brought out this new thing called the private cloud, and that's exactly what a private cloud is. The private cloud will deal with your network, with your firewalls, with the Hyper-V configuration, with the storage, and with the load balancer. So we can automate this part of the deployment process by creating a cloud or private cloud in System Center Virtual Machine Manager. Then the next part, you probably already know it, we can do by creating a service. So all these things will be done by actually creating a service and then deploying the service. And the last part, all the SharePoint part, the only way to automate SharePoint at the moment is this, is PowerShell. And this is what we're going to do. Now in the presentation, I don't really worry about your environment, so I'm not going to talk to you about your environment. So I don't worry about this. I also don't want to create a private cloud. There are some sessions here that are really good and that really explain to you what a private cloud is and how you can create it and how easy it is and why you should do it and why you shouldn't do it. So I would encourage you to go to these sessions. But I will start with the service creation and how to create a service, especially for SharePoint. Cool. So the first thing that I would encourage you to do is, if you plan to do a SharePoint deployment as a service, really think about how you want to structure it. So before you actually start on the service, you really should know what your end result is. So you really should know what your farm architecture will look like. Will you have one application server and a web front end together, or will you have application tier, a web front end and an SQL server, or they're saying, hey, I don't want to have the SQL server in my farm architecture, actually want to or in the service, I actually want to have it external, I want to have a SQL cluster somewhere that I can use. So really think about these things. Also think about scaling, if you want to scale your web front ends or not. Think about load balancing. Think about how much customization you want to put into the SharePoint service, because that will affect how your script later on will handle all that. Think about what you want to have difference in the instances. For example, if you write the script, you could just reuse your service accounts, not that it would be best practice, but if it is a development environment, you might just reuse the service accounts over and over and over again in each of the services service instance. And then lastly, think about how often you actually will create a new service instance. So if you are going to deploy three service instances, then there's no point in actually going through the pain and configuring all this, because you can do it manually and you probably save a lot of time, because it takes some time to actually create those service templates. But if you know that you will create 500 SharePoint deployments in the next 2 weeks, then go ahead and do it. All right, so once you know how your farm architecture looks like, and once you know how you want to structure your SharePoint environment, first thing you will need to do is to look at your Hyper-V templates. So you will need to create two Hyper-V templates. In my example, I will create a three-tier service, so I will create a template for SQL Server. And there you do the usual things. You install SQL Server, you install Server 2008. You can install the SQL management software, any third-party tools. And then two things that are really important. One of them is to install a prepped SQL database instance. I'm not sure if you guys know what that is. Who has done that before? Anybody? Yep, one? Cool. I'm going to show that in my demo, how to actually create a prepped SQL database instance, because that was new to me as well. And you want to make sure that the firewall is open on port 1433 in the network that you are deploying the service instance into. On the SharePoint server side, on the template side, again, we got the Server 2008 R2. Install any updates. You normally would install the SharePoint pre-requirements and any third-party tools that you have. And then you need to make a decision around the SharePoint 2010 binaries. In your service instance, if you know that you will always deploy SharePoint 2010 standard, or always deploy SharePoint Enterprise 2010, or SharePoint Enterprise 2010, then you can go ahead and install the binaries. Just don't run the configuration wizard. So you can install the binaries, you can install the service pack, and you can install the CU, which means that all the data is already in the Hyper-V template. And then later on, when we actually deploy the service instance, we just need to run the configuration wizard or the appropriate PowerShell script. If you don't know if you will install SharePoint Standard or SharePoint Enterprise, then just have the binary somewhere on the server and call the installation through the PowerShell script later on. We then go ahead and we go into Virtual Machine Manager, create a service template, have it a three-tier service template. Make sure that when you do it, you have the order right. So the SQL tier needs to be your primary tier. The application tier needs to be your secondary tier. Makes sense, because we can't install SharePoint or configure SharePoint if there's no SQL server. And then the web front end should be your territory tier. So you know that you can join the farm and the de-application server is already there. No laughing, I saw that. Just so you know, my accent is German. I'm not funny at all. Sometimes I think I had to leave Germany because I developed some kind of humor. But anyway, but anytime any of my colleagues is laughing, I tell them off. Shouldn't laugh in a corporate environment. It's not right. Anyway, so we got the order right. We have this SQL server in the virtual machine template, or in the service template. We also configured the hardware profile and the guest OS profile. We also configured the SQL server profile. And later on, we will configure the application profile for the application server and the web front end. But before we do that, I'm actually going to jump into some demos and show you some stuff. Cool. So you see my instance is still deploying. If I will go in here, you can actually see that I can jump onto my SQL server now. And the first thing that I'm going to show is how we can create that prepared SQL instance. So what you normally would do is you would put in your SQL media, and then you would start up the SQL Server Install Center. And we have to wait here for a second. And then once it comes up, instead of just doing a normal installation, you can go under Advanced Installations and choose Image Preparation of a Standalone Instance of a SQL Server. I can't do it right now because it's deploying SQL Server in the background. However, so if you go through that wizard, it will actually let you create a image page installation of the SQL Server. During that wizard, you specify a SQL instance and a SQL ID. So you for the database, you specify the instance that you want to use and what the instance name is, and you also specify a ID. And this ID you will later use in the virtual machine service template to actually configure the SQL profile. And you do this. It's right here. Cool. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to create a new three-tier service template. Choose three-tier. Give it a name. And wait for it. So you can see how I have my first tier, my second tier, and my third tier. As I said, I want to use my SQL Server as my first tier. It's basically just drag and drop. And then for my second tier and my third tier, my second tier is going to be my application server, and the third tier is going to be my web front end. Because I haven't configured SharePoint yet, I can use the same Hyper-V template for them. Doesn't really matter if it is application or web front end. It will all depend later on what we run in the script. So just drag and drop them in here. Refresh. Cool. And then I can go ahead and configure each of these tiers. So first one will be the SQL tier. If I wouldn't have already done it, I could go ahead and actually look into the hardware configuration and change the hardware configuration. So if I think it needs more memory or more CPUs, I could do it in here. And it will be saved to the specific SharePoint service template. Same as the OS settings. So you can see that I will join automatically to my domain during the service deployment. And then under SQL Server configuration, I'm going to go ahead and create a new one. And in here is where I'm actually going to specify the instance ID and the instance name. Now, I get a bit confused sometimes what to choose for the name and what for the ID, because when I did the SQL template or the SQL Hyper-V template, that was about 5 days before I actually jumped into the virtual machine and started playing around with the service template. So make sure you write everything down, or else you're going to just spend hours and hours of troubleshooting and wondering why the SQL Server won't install. So I can just do anything in here. You can supply a product key to automatically activate it if you want to, and you can also choose a Run As account. What you do need to do is you need to specify the media source of the SQL Server that you should have within the SQL Hyper-V template. So I know that's in here. And then I can go ahead and choose who should be SQL Server admin. Cool. You also need to specify the SQL Service Runners account and the SQL Agent account. And I'm just going to choose some random ones. Those will be things that most likely will be different to each of your instances, or might be different to each of your instances. If they are different, you need to put some PowerShell scripts in before, or have those accounts created beforehand, or use Orchestrator to actually make that whole workflow work better. Cool, so that was the SQL template. As I said before, we need to make sure that we got the order right. So first of all, we can't scale out a SQL server, so we take this tick off, and we want to make sure that the application deployment order is set to 1. On the application tier, I'm going to set it to 2, and in this case, I don't want to actually scale out the application tier either, but on my web front end, I actually do want to do that, so at the moment, I would say, hey, should have at least 2 instances and can go to a maximum of 10. In the SharePoint application tier and in the SharePoint web front end, we have the same thing. We could configure the hardware configuration right now if we want to and if we think that's not appropriate what's in there right now. And then under application configuration, I'll get back to this to actually configure the SharePoint part. But one thing that I want to do in here for the web front end is actually to add a load balancer so we can scale out the web front end later on. And that's easily done because I already have a web load balancer configured in my private cloud. I can just go add load balancer, and it puts it somewhere random. The only thing I don't like is it's like busy or just worse. And then you can basically just click and connect these. Now, this would deploy it. If I would go and say save and validate this configuration, it would say, hey, you have a network load balancer installed or configured, but you don't actually have the necessary tools installed on that web front end. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back into that web front end, go into the server OS configuration, and add the network load balancing tools. Where are you? One second. It doesn't matter. Yep. Features. So at the network load balancing. Network load balancing tools. Now, by doing that, by actually selecting network load balancing and by adding the load balancer within the VMM template, when we actually deploy the service template later on and we scale it out, it will automatically add each of the instances of that tier into the network load balancer, so we don't actually have to touch it anymore, and it will give us the virtual IP for that network load balancer, so we can just hit the network load balancer. Awesome. Going back? Yep. Cool. So we have it configured, and if we would deploy the service right now, it would work. What we would get is a SQL server that's pre-configured because we configured the SQL profile, and we would get another 2 servers that right now would have all the SharePoint binaries installed. But it doesn't do the SharePoint installation yet, so we still need to find a way to actually do the SharePoint installation for us. And how do we do that? Well, it's really easy because if you deal with SharePoint all the time, you do that anyway. First of all, we all love PowerShell. So what we normally do is we jump on the box, we open up PowerShell, SharePoint PowerShell, type in some PowerShell commands, and it will create a farm for us and all that. And that's all cool. But we got some problems. Well, first of all, we don't really want to do this manually, so we need a script for us to do that. Second of all, we are not on the SharePoint box during the deployment, and I got my points mixed up, but we are not on the SharePoint box during the deployment, so we need to find a way to actually put that SharePoint script or the PowerShell script into Virtual Machine Manager. And third, we don't know anything about the SharePoint environment yet. What our end result would be to actually have a way where we can configure each instance of the SharePoint deployment in its own way. So we can say, cool, in this instance, I want to have such service, and I want to have my managed metadata. And in this service or service instance here, I only want to have my user profiles. So we need to find a way to actually capture that data and then pass it into the script. But let's talk about the SharePoint configuration first. So we know we need a script. And the script needs to do a lot of things. It needs to create the farm, needs to provision the application service and the web front end, deploy all the service applications, deploy all the needs to be able to scale the application server, needs to be able to create the web applications and all that, and in the end probably deploy some custom code. And next to this, as I said before, we need to find a way to actually pass all that information around the different service instances in there. So the script needs to enable us to do all this, and then besides that, it needs to read from a kind of a configuration file all the information about the current service instance and then pass it into the script. So we need to have all the customizations in a configuration file that we need to be able to read. Well, it's not a big thing. You could go ahead and develop that, and some of our developers actually develop that. Or if you're like me and you're lazy and you're more of an infrastructure person, don't touch code, then you go online and you search for things and you find AutoSP installer from Codeplex, which is actually really good. And then if you talk to actually some other infrastructure people at Microsoft, you find out that they use that as well, so I didn't feel that bad that I actually didn't code it myself. Anyway, so you can go to autospinstaller.codeplex.com, download AutoSP installer, and that actually gives you a script that lets you create a full SharePoint farm. It also gives you an XML file that you can configure, and the SharePoint installation will be based on that configuration file. So from that point on, all we really need to do is, first of all, find a way to push all the script into the service instance, and we need to find a way to configure the XML file. And there are a few different ways how to actually do that. During my whole process of actually doing it, first of all, in the beginning, I did it manually, which was kind of boring. Then I went to workflows, which I didn't really like. I talked to some Microsoft people, and they actually do it with HTML forms and parse it then into. And then after MMS, I actually had a look at System Center Service Manager, and I found out that you could do it with Service Manager, and that would now be my really preferred way. However, for this demo, I will show you the code or the code in C# that we developed to actually create that XML file, just to get an idea. Once we have the XML file and once we have the script, what we're going to do is create a custom resource package and add it into the VMM library. A custom resource package is nothing else than a really default Windows folder, and you hit F2 and type CR in the background, then it's a custom resource folder. Once you have it, you can add it into the VMM library. Once it's in the library, you can actually use it in the application profiles to call anything that's within this application, within the custom resource package. Cool. Gonna jump back on. So first of all, the way how I created my XML file was this. So this little program basically just created that XML file for me where I could then type in a project name, could choose what services I want to have activated. I was able to choose the web application or the my sites, and then I'll basically just generate some scripts that you see here. I would then go ahead and take these scripts and put them into the CR folder that you can see on my desktop here. And it's really, oops, that's just the wrong one. Would be just drag and drop. And then within the virtual machine manager, you go into the libraries. And I still have to find it down here. And you see that I already imported it, but you can then just go import the physical resource, choose the folder, and import it. What's good about the custom resource folder is whenever you create a new instance, it will actually look at that physical folder on your desktop or wherever it is stored, and has a it has a look if there's anything new in there. So if you would create a new service instance with a new XML file, you drop it in, you leave the old ones in there. You configure your script so it knows exactly which one to take. So my script will actually look at the server name. It will look for a configuration file that matches the server name and then install the file. So that means you can just always keep adding those XML files. Cool. So once we have the custom result file, we go back into the application profile, or into the app server first. Go under app configuration. And add a script. Now we want to run the script post install. And we're going to choose the script package. Just here. And we say that after the install, run command and run quietly the AutoSP installer. And that's basically it. So after typing that in, during the service creation, once the OS is deployed, it will have a look if there is anything custom that it needs to deploy. It will then see, hey, there is a script that I need to deploy, so I take this custom resource folder, I copy it over into a temporary folder on the Windows server, and I run whatever command you specify in here. Now, if you're really keen to actually scale out an application server, you need to make sure that your script supports this. So you need to make sure that when you scale out the application server, you know where you put the right service applications and you can script that. If you want to be able to descale a service or a web front end, what you need to do is actually add a second script that would be run before you actually uninstall or descale a service. So by choosing a second script, say the script command should run before I remove a server, you can actually say, cool, when I do this, run some commands that will remove the web front end or the application server from the farm, and in that way, your farm is still clean. I'm probably gonna just remove this. So that's on my application server. I'm just going to do the same thing on my web front end, just to make sure it's fine. So post install, CMD. And that's it. So if we now would deploy this service template, it would go ahead, it would deploy the SQL server first, configure the SQL server, and configure the SQL server instance. Then it would configure the or deploy the application server. After that, it runs the PowerShell commandlets to actually configure the farm, edit, configure the farm, and do everything with SQL. And then afterwards, it goes into the web front end and does the same thing in the web front end, edits to the farm, and configures SharePoint on there. And that's so cool. So we can use this, and we can use VMM to manage the service. It is possible to scale the service up and to remove a node from an instance, and that's really cool. What we can do and what's normally possible with services is, first of all, we can't scale the SQL tier. We can't just create a cluster. But secondly, we can't actually manage or update the service template and then apply the updates to existing instances. So normally we could install a few new service packs on our Hyper-V machine and then update the template. And we can update the template, and then if we create a new instance, that will all be fine. But if we choose to update the existing instances with the new VHT template, it will just overwrite everything and it will screw your whole farm, so don't do that. Cool, so let's have a look if my farm actually deployed. So, just going to start up SQL SQL Manager, and I'm going to start up. It's the time, I should be ready. Sorry, just jumping on the right server. It's not quite there yet. It's still configuring in the background. It does seem like it didn't deploy. It does seem like the demo gods are not good with me. Let's just have a quick look into jobs, why it didn't deploy. That was 10:44. So I'm really sorry, I did this about 20 times, and every time it was fine. And of course, that ticket, it fails. No. You have to take my word. It normally does work. just didn't work here. Anyway, what I would have shown you is, yes, it is possible, and it normally does work, but it requires a lot of PowerShell and planning beforehand. However, this really is just a version one. It really just utilizes Virtual Machine Manager and PowerShell. So to actually make it a full functional service, we actually want to use all the other applications from System Center as well. So again, at the moment, we only use Virtual Machine Manager and the Cloud Manager and PowerShell. The next step would be to add Orchestrator. With Orchestrator, we can just use some runbox to actually create the or to call the service template and the service template creation. We also can use Orchestrator to create those service accounts that we need, or to configure Kerberos for us, or to configure DNS in our AD and all those kinds of things. The next part will be to actually give our customers or the PMs, whoever wants to create that SharePoint environment, a way to actually create themselves. So you can do that via Service Manager, or you could do that via the self-service portal or via the app controller, which also gives your customer the ability to actually look into the application. And lastly, we would need to configure Operations Manager to actually look into the application, find out what's wrong, why does it need so much resources. It can then report back to Orchestrator. We can run some automatic runbooks that say, hey, it's not in the SLAs, deploy another web front end and kick off another instance. How am I doing this time? Really good, eh? Yes. Got some resources here. AutoSphere installer. If you need to, if you want to know more about the whole systems center suite, I would encourage you to go to MMS 2012. There are still about 500 hours worth of videos up there. And of course, go to MS Communities and join us. If you want to have some related content, go to these sessions. Some of them were yesterday. I think the first one, VR301, is today in the afternoon. They will, again, probably talk more about the virtual machine templates and go more through it. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can Twitter me on KiwiBuyer or on my email. That's the resources from Microsoft. And don't forget to evaluate. I really appreciate comments. Just don't mention the war in the comments. That's all. Cool.